It might seem like something out of a science fiction novel, but connected electronic medical devices really can be dangerous if someone is able to hack into them. Jonathan Troll is the Chief Information Security Officer at Qualys. He explains why these devices can be vulnerable and what you might be able to do about it.
Typically, a lot of the embedded or implanted medical devices use some form of communication channel to feed data either back to physicians, to other devices, or to actually transmit data automatically into people's medical health records. And so any of those communication channels, if not properly protected, open up as a mechanism for someone to hack into those devices.
So these devices communicate in two directions. You can send commands or change orders to them as well as they tell you what they're doing?
Yeah, definitely. It depends on the device and obviously the manufacturer, but there's the potential for one-way communication or two-way communication going both ways, you know, one to administer the device or the one way where it's simply sending data back as kind of a diagnostic mechanism.
Is this a wireless thing, or is there people have wires coming out of their bodies that are hooked up to a monitor of some sort?
No, these are typically Bluetooth-type technology, some type of wireless communication technology for the implanted devices.
Is this a potential danger, or is there any evidence that this has actually happened?
Yeah, at this point, I mean, according to DHS, U.S. CERT, and other federal authorities, there have been no actual cases of an attack against one of these devices. So at this point, it's more of a potential scenario. I mean, obviously, we have a lot of security researchers that have proven that it's possible, but no actual cases of this happening.
What are the most common devices that might be inside someone?
Prime examples that are out there would be implanted pacemakers, defibrillators, drug infusion pumps. So insulin pumps was actually one of the first cases where that was shown to be vulnerable. So those are the most common types of implanted medical devices we're talking about.
So if someone were to be able to access that communication channel, what could they do?
Well, that's kind of the scary part about it. You know, if they can get into the range, and again, it depends on the manufacturer, and this is where we talked about, you know, probably needing some more stringent standards around the software that's involved here. But it could be something as, I guess, less harmful as reading the data that's going back and forth, so access to your health records, your health data, to something as egregious as potentially providing a fatal shock to the heart or a fatal dose of insulin, or stopping those from working potentially as well.
So far, that's only happened on television dramas, as far as we know, though.
That's correct. Again, we have no real cases of this actually happening at this point.
And are these devices capable of encrypting the data they send or receive, or is it just open text?
Well, that's a great point. Again, it's very dependent on the manufacturers that actually develop the software. I mean, one of the biggest holes, though, is a lot of these communications are done unencrypted, right? So the data is easy to read. You're able to potentially get authentication that's going across this clear channel if you can intercept those communications. But there are some devices that are using encrypted channels as well.
Well, as time goes on, we hear about the Internet of Things, where more and more types of non-computers are attached to the internet because of their communication. Radios are so tiny and everything can have an IP address. We're really talking about a problem that transcends medical devices per se, correct?
You're absolutely 100% right. I mean, I think the way technology is progressing is that people want data at their fingertips, no matter what that data is, whether it's, you know, their medical data, whether it's their social data. And basically what's happening is everything is connected to the internet, because that's the primary mechanism that data can be easily transmitted from anywhere. So yeah, we see it in other arenas where you look at some of the larger scale cyber attacks that happen. Some of the mechanisms are to first compromise, for example, an HVAC system. End of the day, I mean, those were never even considered the, you know, purview of cybersecurity professionals. That was more of a facilities issue. But now that everything's connected, you know, suddenly everything's a target.
We're speaking with Jonathan Troll. He is the Chief Information Security Officer at Qualys. Briefly tell us, what is Qualys's interest in all of this?
Yeah, so at Qualys, we are a cloud-based security company, and you know, one of our philosophies is that we're able to identify vulnerabilities and help you ease the process of patching them, no matter where the device, no matter what type of device it is, no matter where it's located, you know, whether it's within your traditional network or whether it's in the cloud, whether that's an Amazon cloud, a Microsoft cloud, or your own private cloud. So we have a lot of interest in the Internet of Things and making sure that companies are secure, you know, as they adopt these new technologies.
So for people that are using medical devices, who is responsible, do you feel, for making sure that they're cyber secure? Is it the owner? Is it the provider? Is it the healthcare provider? The manufacturer? How does this all get operationalized to make them safe?
That's a great question. I mean, ultimately, the manufacturer bears responsibility for developing and testing a secure device, including the software, firmware that's embedded on that device. At the same time, I think we all share some responsibility in terms of those that actually procure these devices. I mean, a lot of the change that we've seen are where as you go and you have choices of manufacturers, if you start saying that I will only procure devices that have proven to be secure, that you can prove to me have security standards, I think that goes a long way. And then obviously, I think federal agencies like the FDA that kind of oversee and regulate these devices have a role to play as well.
Are there any international standards or any type of IEEE standards that apply to cybersecurity for these devices, or do we use the standards that are applying already to other Bluetooth devices?
I think a lot of the technology is very similar. So a lot of the security standards and these communication paths, you know, these aren't new. I mean, obviously, we've developed mechanisms to do this securely. There are some standards that have been issued both by the FDA in terms of guidance. There's some great documents from the National Institute of Standards and Technologies about securing not just medical devices, but industrial control systems, you know, those things that are very critical to human life and functioning. So there's a lot of standard-based information that's out there that people can use to help, you know, develop secure medical devices.
Is there evidence that the manufacturers of the devices are taking this problem seriously and starting to adopt those best practices and standards?
Yeah, I definitely think the awareness has increased dramatically. You know, unfortunately, you know, one of the issues that we have is we're left with a lot of medical devices that are out there being used that obviously occurred and were developed before kind of this awareness happened. So we have both kind of the new design, which I think is getting better, but we still have this kind of these legacy medical devices that obviously are out there and will have to either be replaced. Hopefully they can be remotely patched, but again, a lot of these systems weren't necessarily built to be updated and patched remotely. So that's another issue.
It's one thing to be able to install new antivirus software. It's quite another thing to have surgery to get safe.
Exactly. I don't think that's anything that someone would want to sign up for. I know I wouldn't.